Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know, believe, and hold in our hearts the truth of the three commands that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us, and in them all of the scriptures from the beginning to the end is wrapped up, that we are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen, church? And in that we proclaim the grace of God the Father through the Son and in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we are awake and well in that Spirit this day. Today, our second Sunday in Advent, I bring to you a word from the Lord, I do believe, for the hour has come. Well, now that's not cool because that's last week's sermon. Bring my briefcase here, JB. This is embarrassing. The preacher left his sermon in the briefcase. I thought we took care of it before you all joined us. That didn't work. Looky there. There's two papers in there. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, the way of holiness. There we go. And we shall be found on it. That's what the scripture says. Boy, I'm embarrassed, but that's okay. May it be the truth that God is God and not Pastor Rich. Amen. Amen. And in that I will walk always, because we are mere mortals. But there is a way provided unto us, and that way is a way of holiness that separates us from the world. And today that's what I want you to see. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 35. The book of Isaiah, chapter 35. You heard a portion of it today in our reading, and I would like to expound on it just a little bit, just using a few more of the verses, because we're going to be reading, or I'm going to be reading to you, verses 1 through 10 of Isaiah, chapter 35. From the first verse in the 35th chapter of Isaiah, we read these words. The wilderness and the desert will be glad, and the era will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will blossom profusely and rejoice with the rejoicing and shout of joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The majesty of Carmel and Sharon, they will see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. For waters will break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the Arabah. The scorched land will become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water, and the haunt of jackals its resting place. Grass becomes reeds and rushes. A highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way. And fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go up on it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy upon their heads. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. So be it. In the name of our Lord, amen. When we read these words, it's understanding for each and every one of us that there is a highway of life, there is a way of holiness. And each of us who are in Christ Jesus will walk upon that way, for we know who that way is. For Jesus has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father but by me. So we turn to him because he is that way of holiness. Now, I want to ask each and every one of you here and every one of you out there on internet land today, how many of you are on that way of holiness? I pray every hand goes up. But I want to also ask you this, is it an easy way? No, it is not. When we look to this scripture, when we look to these words, it says that there will be no fools there. There will be no lions there. It says that it's going to be this wonderful place where we're not going to find any harm, right? But the reality is, if we're on that way now, why do we find harm around us? I want you to understand something. Isaiah here is looking at a time yet to come. He is looking at a time when all things will be wrapped up. He is literally looking not only to the millennium, but he is looking after the millennium to the eternal state. This is one of the very few scriptures that speaks of the eternal state. When we will walk on that way and there will be no harm. Everything will be good. The deserts will turn into lush lands. And all these things that are spoken of in this scripture will come about and come into being. But until then, we are yet walking on that holy way because we have not been prepared for that eternal state. But we are being prepared, so therefore we see a semblance of that reality in our lives, because that semblance came through the blood and sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As he walked this world, he was walking that highway of life, and we too must be found on it. It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in that gospel, we have placed our faith, each and every one of us who has come into the time and the being of understanding that God truly is Jesus Christ. That yes, he is the second person of the Trinity, but he is the bodily form, the human form of God for us, that we may know it's possible for us to attain, but yet impossible in our current condition. Can I get an amen? Amen. Because we are in this world, we are in this body, and we are fallen. And how many of us know that there are people who walk as Christians, but yet they stumble and they fall and they do foolish things, and we get hurt because there are lions out there that are coming after us wanting to devour us? We need to understand Satan wants to take this piece of scripture and pervert it so much as to say there is no way. Look at all the harm that is out there. And I say to you, the reality is this is a spiritual truth for each and every one of us. That we must see that no matter where we are, how many of us have made it through some of the most trying things we've ever been through in our lives? Amen. There is a way of holiness. And when you hold to that way, his name is Jesus Christ. When you hold, as that woman did who had the bleeding issue for 12 years, and all she did was hang on to the hem of his garment, if we hold on to him who is our salvation, how much more shall we be saved? And that's where we walk, is in that way. But you and I are going to find obstacles along that way, because we are yet in this physical body. We are in this world. We have not been set to that spiritual place that Isaiah here is truly speaking of. But that day is coming for you and I. So we need to think about, okay, if this is a spiritual reality that is something yet to come for us, how do we make sure that we are on the way here? Because this way is filled with obstacles and there are hard things in it. We need to remember that Jesus Christ is the revelation of the way of holiness. And as we remember that and we see what he did, we listen to what he taught us, it gives us the hope to be able to do that. So turn in your Bibles with me to Titus in the second chapter, because I want you to see that Pastor doesn't just make this stuff up. God has revealed he who is our salvation to each and every one of us. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For this is something that we don't have to wait for. We have to wait for the fullness of that highway of holiness. But we are yet on that way because we have come to the one who has been, revealed to us. From the 11th verse of Titus in the second chapter. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Yes, I read one more verse. Because I want you to understand, in this time of year, we need to be speaking this truth into the world. We need to be believing this truth as it has been revealed to us. For God has given us everything that we need, for He has appeared to us. And yet, as He has appeared to us, what does the Scripture say? That we are waiting for the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. What is that talking about? Didn't He already come? Yes, He did come as Savior, but He's coming again as the King of Kings. And we are waiting for that day, because in that day our salvation is full and complete. Can I get an amen? Right now we're a work in progress. And each and every one of us needs to be found upon that way that leads to the hope of eternal life, that way that leads to the desire of godliness in our world, to live sensibly. Oh my goodness, how many people are living sensibly in our world today? You know, and you've all probably heard this. I don't know if you've been watching the news. Do you know what this United States, what the interest payment is on all the credit card debt in just the United States? Do you know what the interest payment is on all the credit card debt in just the United States? 4 weeks ago, the interest payment on all the credit card debt hit $1 trillion. That's the interest payment. That doesn't have anything to do with the actual debt. That's credit card debt. That's you and me. Why are we living this way? Yeah, I got the gentleman over here and saying, it's not me. It's not me either. We don't carry credit card debt. I don't like credit card debt. I got into trouble with credit card debt years ago. Amen. And then I got a smart wife who said, this ain't happening no more. And we began living biblical principles, and oh my goodness, how it has set me free and set me on that way of holiness, that I don't have to pay the pauper because my God's taking care of my very needs. And I live within my means. You know, I think about that come Christmas time. It was already spoken, and it's yet one of the things I want to talk about at this very point, because there is a way that is right. How many people are still paying off last year's Christmas debt with credit cards? If you have to go that far in debt to show somebody that you love them, you're doing something wrong. You never take on a debt that you cannot pay. There's an old Pennsylvania Dutch saying out there. It says, don't write a check with your mouth that your wallet can't pay. Of course, I said that in a very clean way, because it's said another way, and all of you who know it are sitting here smirking and laughing right now. Ask me after church, I'll tell you. But we all need to understand, God doesn't want us out there in debt. God paid the debt that we could never pay, and that is Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Can I get an amen? That's the only outstanding debt that there should ever be. And that's why we find ourselves on the highway of life, because we realize we could never have paid that debt, that we could never afford that ticket on that turnpike. Can I get an amen? And when we see that Jesus Christ has given us that ability and we can walk freely thereupon, all of a sudden the burdens of life get a little bit lighter. Because now I understand that my sin has been paid in full. That means I need to go about life sinning no more and find myself on this holy way. Because no one unrighteous is going to be found there. But it also speaks to us in a different manner when we think about who we are and what we are. Especially here at the time of Christmas, I want us to think about what we're doing and how we bring all this outside stuff. How many of you bring your garbage, your baggage to church every Sunday? Yeah, I'm not afraid to raise my hand, because I'm a human being and I know I carry it with me. I pack it well. How many of you get to see it? Not many. But those of you who do, you know, pastor's garbage is still garbage. Can I get an amen? And so is yours, and we're constantly carrying it. And that's one of the reasons we have such a hard time on this highway. Because we're trying to get on the highway, and Jesus says, nope. Nope. Why, Lord? What's wrong? you got all this garbage. It's got to be removed. What does the scripture tell us about that? Is there somewhere in there that we need to be turning ourselves and looking at the hope that God has for us? Yes. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul here is going to talk to us about that rubbish that each and every one of us carries and that we need to get rid of it. Philippians chapter 3. Chapter 3, from verse 7 through 21. From verse 7, Paul jumps right into this very reality for each and every one of us. He says, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it of yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many are perfect, have this attitude, and if anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that to you also. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself, to the glory of God. Amen." Wow, I just said a whole lot there. Did you all follow that? I mean, when we sit down and let the word sink in, I count it all but rubbish. Everything that was before Christ is now rubbish in my life. But yet, how many of us carry so much of that rubbish with us every day because we keep doing the same thing and expecting different results? I think about people right now in the church who compromise. You do realize that this is what it's talking about here. How much rubbish do we carry? That's called compromise. Well, you know, I need to overlook that because I just don't, you know, I don't want to pressure things in my family. Wait a minute. There is a way that is right, and may we be found on it. Because we also know that there is a way that is wrong, and it leadeth unto what? Death. And when we begin to compromise the way of Christ, rather than condemning it, considering it rubbish, separating ourselves from it, I mean, how many of you like to live with your garbage can stinking in your kitchen? You know, it's amazing how much we'll put up with in our spiritual life and say, well, you just got to overlook that. We can't overlook it anymore. We are living in the season of light. And I pray we understand exactly what's being talked of here, because it is exposed. I hate to tell you this, those of you who think that nobody else sees your garbage, everybody sees your garbage. Because that's the one thing they're all looking for when we tell people we're a Christian or we try to live as a Christian. Because they're going to find every piece of garbage that you have. But I want to tell you right now, when they find that piece of garbage, I want you to think about how God is going to use you in helping another person understand that you are yet a work in progress. Because we need to understand, until we are on that perfect path, which is when? In the eternal state. We're working it out now. Can I get an amen, church? But in that, may we be found honest and faithful. Why do you think Pastor says Christians are some of the most hypocritical people I've ever met? Because we say one thing and do another. I'm not giving you a license to do that. I'm simply stating the truth. And I'm not afraid to admit it. Because I would rather walk with God and be judged by the world than walk with the world and be judged by God. The world can judge me all it wants to. Because God sees me for who I really am inside. He knows my heart. He knows my desire. And He knows where I'm trying to walk, but yet I'm fighting in this flesh. How many of you are not fighting your flesh? Every one of us fight our flesh every day, and that is exactly what I want you to understand. Continue that good fight. The greatest fight that you will ever fight is the fight of your salvation. Can I get an amen? And we have already been labeled the victors through Jesus Christ, who has paid the price. But we need to get through this life and be found on that highway. And that highway is a way of glory. I'm going to tell you right now, when we succeed, do we take the credit? No, I give it all to God. When I don't succeed, do I blame it on God? No, I reason with God. Okay, where do I need to turn? What am I doing wrong? What rubbish am I yet carrying, Father? Because I don't see it or I don't understand it. Because we are people who lack understanding. Remember, we don't have an infinite mind right now. We have a finite mind. And we only understand things finitely. So in that, God extends grace to each and every one of us because He knows we don't understand. Jesus spoke it from the cross. What did He say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It says fools will not be found on it. There's another word I like to interpret there rather than fools. Idiots will not be found on it. I are an idiot sometimes. Because I don't understand things. And God knows that. So therefore, as I'm walking and I try to get on it and He bumps me off, I got to step back and say, okay, explain, Lord. And guess what He does? He explains. He shows me the places where I'm walking wrong. He shows me the stuff that I'm still carrying. And He says, now come alongside. I'll stay on the path and hold my hand, son. Just stay close. Because that's where He is with us. He's on that holy way. He is that holy way. His name is Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? And He holds our hand and He walks alongside of us. Why? Because He paid the price. And we can't walk alongside of Him lest we hold to that. And as we hold to that, hold to Him. Like I said, not like the woman that had the bleeding issue and touched the hem of His garment. Hold to Him. Clinging to Him every day, all the way. The first thought in your morning needs to be a prayer going up to God, guide me in this life. And the last thing you do before you lay down needs to be a prayer. Thank you, Father, give me the rest to go another day. And all through the day, our thoughts need to be on Jesus Christ and His way and His life. Not what we want, not the things that we desire, but the things that God has for us. He says, let us therefore be perfect. Have this attitude, and if anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal it to you also. You know, I laugh when I read that scripture. That's verse 15. Please write that down. I want you to study that verse for the next week. Because there are many times I have had Christians come to me and say, yeah, but you see, God understands. No, I want you to understand. God is going to show you differently. Because when you try to tell Him what the Bible says, God is going to teach you what He said. Because He will change your mind. You can't change His. His mind has been set from eternity past to eternity future because He's already there. And in that, we need to be the ones changed. And He will change us. He will transform us. He will work on the attitudes of your heart and your mind because He loves you, not because He wants to hurt you. but because he loves you and he wants to bring you in fullness, not partiality. You know, I'm reminded of the dear brother that we had. How many of you remember Brother Dan? Okay, I'm going to tell you a Dan story. Forgive me, Catholic Church. A priest went to a gentleman, this is a true story. A priest went to a gentleman's widow, and he said to the widow, he said, you know, he was sent by the bishop, by the way, and he said to the widow, he says, you know, we really need to do a few more masses for your husband to get him out of purgatory. And she said, oh, well, you know, what are we going to have to do? She said, well, you know, how much of him is still in purgatory? How much of him is still stuck there? And he says, well, he says, not much. And, you know, if we do at least one, maybe two more masses, I know we can get him out. She said to the priest, this is not a joke. This is a true story. She said, well, what of him is stuck in purgatory? Oh, his leg. She says, his leg. Oh, which one? He said, I believe it's his left leg. She says, oh, praise Jesus. She said, we don't have to worry. That was an artificial leg. Brothers and sisters, we need to get our hearts right, get right. Don't be playing the games that the church has played for centuries past. And I'm not just picking on the Catholic Church. I'm picking on the Protestant Church too. Because we have said, oh, it's okay. And look at the myriad of ways that you can come to Jesus Christ. You can believe and do anything and everything you want, and you're going to get there. That is not true. There is one way, and that way is through the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we obey his word, that we walk in the truth therein, and that we ask for forgiveness where we don't, and our minds and attitudes to be changed where we can. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there are going to be places in your life that you're going to struggle, and you're going to struggle deeply. I struggle deeply, because I struggle not against flesh and blood, but I struggle against powers and principalities. And I need to understand that some of these powers and principalities are far stronger than I am, because I don't see who I am. I don't realize who I am in Christ Jesus. I don't realize the power that is out there before me. But when I can grasp that reality, when I can grasp that power, when I can make that effort and I hold his hand faithfully, God is able to get me through. Can I get an amen? And in that, we are on that way, that highway of life. And there is no evil there, because it's been removed from us. Not the world, from us. Because we fight the evil within. And it's holding to that truth and understanding that God has prepared a way for us to come into that hope, a new and living way. And that way we know is Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 20 through 25. Hebrews chapter 10. Oh, pardon me, Pete. That should have verse 19 on it as well. For some reason, I did that. So it begins in actually verse 19. It says to us from the 19th verse in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. What day is drawing near, dear friends? The day that is drawing near is the day of the Lord. The day the church gets raptured out, this is the day for me. I'm not looking for the day he comes back and puts his foot on Mount Zion or Mount Olives. I'm looking for the day that he steps out from heaven and he sends his angels to reap the church. And in that, we are taken up to the bride's banquet and we'll be there with him for a week. 7 years here on earth, but for us a week will have transpired. And in that period of time, he will be purifying us and making us whole and holy. Can I say amen? And in that is where we're talking. We have this high priest who is able to enter in. Now, if you remember, no one could enter through the veil. The only one that could enter through the veil was the high priest, right? Well, the high priest's body's been broken. Why do you think that curtain was rent in two? Because his broken body is the open veil. That as we come through Christ, it is open to us because we are now one with the priest. We enter into the Holy of Holies. We enter into the presence of God. We enter into that inner place where God calls us daughters and sons, a child, an heir to the promise. And we are on that highway every moment of every day. But we've got to enter in through Jesus Christ. He is that only living way. And yes, he is alive. Can we get an amen? He is alive and he is well and he is waiting for each and every one of us to accept that payment, his broken body and his shed blood, that as we receive him, so too will we receive the eternal nature of life even here today. That we will find the hope and the joy that is Jesus our Christ. Today, I encourage each and every one of you to understand that we walk in full assurance of faith. Verse 22. We walk in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What is that talking about? It is talking about the power of the Holy Spirit and God's Word in and through us. You and I know this word. This word's name is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. That is Jesus Christ. I've told you, and I'll tell you again, the very first word in the Bible, beginning. The very first word, beginning. The very first letter of the Bible is Bet. And what is Bet? Bet is a picture. Please remember, Hebrew is a picture and a word. And that picture is a mouth open with a seed in it. And what does a seed bring forth? Life. So Jesus Christ, in the very beginning, the first letter of the very first word of the Bible is Jesus Christ speaking the word of life into existence. And that word of life is the very thing we cling to each and every day, for it brings us to the highway of life. He is that highway. He is that hope. He's spoken in the beginning and he ends it in the end because he calls us all home to be with him, those who have chosen him and live with him forever. I was going to pull a verse out of the book of Revelation, but I decided, no, I'm not going to do that. Because in that verse, it truly speaks about just where we are right now in our world. Because I believe, if you have read the third chapter, there's a portion in there where it talks about our world today. It is not hot and it is not cold. And he is about to spit us out of his mouth. Remember what's in his mouth? The word of life. And he's about to spit us out of his mouth. And if we have not life, we have what? Death. I want you all to understand where we are, whose we are, and what God has given to us, and the grace and the mercy that comes therefrom. There is a way of holiness, and his name is Jesus Christ. We walk the gospel. We cannot compromise it. We need to stop allowing these things in our lives. Parents, grandparents, when your children want to do these things that are in this world and you know they shouldn't be doing them, you tell them no. You may not be their friend, but you'll be their parent. And that's what we're supposed to be. Because I'll tell you right now, when we get to eternity, we'll have a long time to be their friend. But right now, God needs you to be who he is to you, that parent, leading in that way of holiness. We need to understand, church, that we need to hold one another to that very same accord, that as we see a brother or a sister walking in a way that is inappropriate, that we need to approach them and ask them gently and then walk with them. Just as I said, God walks with us. Because God, is God not in us? Yes, through the power of His Holy Spirit. So He wants you, just like He is holding your hand, He wants you to hold the hand of one who is also trying to enter that way. Because on their own, on our own, we cannot do it. But through Jesus Christ, we can. And how does Jesus Christ present Himself to people who don't know Him? Through you, because He is in you. You and I are that way. Are we perfect? No. But are we on the way? Yes. And may we always be found in the way. You know, I holler at my wife all the time. Have you ever noticed it, guys, that when it's two of you walking through the kitchen, your wife is always right there where you want to go? And I will look at her and I'll say, will you get out of my way? Well, where do you want me to be? Not here, right? I'm telling on myself. Because that's where we find everything in life. I mean, look at the realities of who we are. Rather than being gentle and loving and saying, hi, honey, let's dance, and dance through the kitchen, you know, and make fun of it and have a good time. No, my attitude comes up. And my wife tells me to check it at the door. Well, where do you want me to be? I want you to think about these realities. We often don't see God in the little things. But do you know He's there every day? In every moment, in every way. But we have to have eyes to see. And we are children of light. So the light has dawned. It's time to start seeing. It's time to start living as one who is awake, not in darkness anymore, but being men and women of light. Being men and women of the way. And yes, we're going to get in some people's way. But when we do, let's dance. Let's dance. Father God, I thank You so much for the day that You have given us. I thank You for the way that You have led us. I thank You for the one who is the way, Jesus, Your Son, our Savior. And I ask, Father God, that as each and every one of us prepare ourselves to walk on this way every day, from the time we wake up to the time we lay our head down, that, Lord God, we realize we need to call upon You to walk with You, to hold Your hand, because, Lord, Your hand is always outstretched towards us. But are we going to take Your hand and walk in the way of Christ Jesus? And as we do, may we see that no matter what comes at us, You turn it all to good. That's the truth of Your word, and we cling to it now. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Yeshua Mashiach. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.